Hello, peoples. It is Miri again. I'm doing another AMA. This is actually the second to last one, so we're almost done this fantabulous journey. Once again, because it is me, this is raw and unedited, unfiltered, however you want to say it, because I'm a lazy asshole. Let's be honest. What was I going to say? Yeah, so I have Hunt here. Say hi to the peoples.
Hello, peoples. I'm here.
The ones of people listening to this.
The ones of people.
Yeah.
There are ones of us.
I do want to ask, before we start, have you heard anybody else's AMA for this?
I have not. So
perfect. That's perfect.
Oh, God. That makes me nervous how you responded to that.
No, it's absolutely perfect. So you're unprepared. This is great. We're just going to like go through it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Blind.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's how you want to do it. I did not readjust my screen size. There we go. Okay. First question. What was it like collaborating on this project?
Oh, this was awesome. The entire Three Times of Christmas was just an incredible project to be on, not only because of the people who worked on it, but also, you know, not hyping you up at all, but like you are a fantastic script writer. So just everything, a part of it was so well built, and there's a lot of chemistry between the performers, even though we weren't performing together. And that really comes through. So it was just fucking fantastic.
Aw, you're so nice. And then I remind everybody of the period vampire. Nobody thinks I'm a good writer anymore.
Or the hairy floss.
I can't believe someone filled that. That was...
I can't believe either. Wasn't that like their first script too?
Their first audio. And oh, they did it as a cold read. Right? Like what?
That poor soul.
I know. And then you went and did the gritty thing. And I'm just like, well, yeah, that's why you haven't seen a torturous commission come in from me. Cause I was like, Eli did it. I can't top
try
that.
Racking your brain how to top that. You can't find anything.
No, I can't top that at all. So I will let it be the piece of perfection that it is.
Gritty stands high upon the mountain.
Exactly. So what kind of audio equipment do you use?
So I have a Synco shotgun mic with an ID4 audience interface. They're together they're about $450 on Amazon. I also have a mic stand, so this way I can move a boom mic stand, so this way I can put the mic wherever I need it to be. And then the program, the software I use to record is SoundForge 12, which I got off Humble Bundle.
Humble Bundle's a good thing, actually.
I love Humble Bundle. Yeah. I also got, I'll be honest, like, saving money off Humble Bundle has definitely been like negated by the amount of shit they offer because I just keep throwing money at them.
Oh my God.
There's just too much cool stuff. Like I can't, you know,
you're just making it rain.
I really am. Just, $13 and I get like 40 games. Like, okay. Yes. Am I going to play any of these? Probably not.
But your archive of games.
But I've got like 400 games or something, or like that's an exaggeration, but I've got a lot. I have many.
What, you know what, not to go to the side, but like you could always be like, do like a Twitch stream where for like 2 hours once a week you play one of these games you've never played before.
I could, that would be fun.
Yeah, like just like go in and do that. And then you can like, and then it's also your honest reaction, which I think the people's love.
Absolutely. That's actually, I'm looking at these games. And I'm like, some of these are not going to run well. Like,
but it'll be fun.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah. And then you can give your review at the end.
Play for 2 hours, go or no go. I like it.
Yeah, there you go. So what was it like being brought into the project?
So you kind of messaged me just out of nowhere. We're like, hey, you want to be in a thing? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. because I implicitly trust your work. So that's probably my first mistake. But yeah, you were like, oh, I have this big thing that I'm working on and I want you to be in it. I was like, all right, yeah, sure. Like, absolutely. And then you sent it to me. And then because I am a huge slacker and procrastinator, it took me like a month to actually read it. And you're like, you never picked your role. And I went through and I looked at the characters and I looked through everything and I found Liam. I was like, yep, that guy. He's a day trader. He sounds important. I'm gonna be him. And thank the gods it actually worked out.
It totally did. I get so many compliments for Liam and Oliver. So many compliments on you guys.
That, like, I feel as though that mostly goes to Byboy, though. Like, he knocked Oliver out of the park. Like, because I don't know his canter, like the softness in his voice, like I out of character I want to protect this guy.
Like
he's such an incredible performer. It sounds so good. Like, and Eli did this incredible job editing, and just, oh god, there's so much chemistry between him and I, and I love it.
Yeah, no, I've said it before and I'll say it again, like Byboy is literally the sweetest person on GWA.
He's so nice.
Like, he is. He's so nice.
I haven't talked to him in a while. I should message him.
You need to message him. Oh my god. He's like so, he's the nicest. Like, I feel anytime I'm having like a bad day, I like message him and he'll message me back. And I'm like, I'm feeling good now. Like, just with two lines. Aww. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about my day. I can do shit.
Feel good.
Yeah.
I got this.
Exactly. And it's just him being himself. But yeah, no, he's literally the sweetest. And I think if you've listened to all of these AMAs, I probably said that at least 5 times to everyone's AMA at this point. Because nobody understands how nice and magical he is. He must be protected at all costs.
We are all protecting Byboy.
Yeah, that's what's happening. So the first of the unrelated questions.
Oh boy.
Is there anything you're looking forward to this year besides the end of quarantine, lockdown, the colored system of lockdown, or whatever it's called where you are?
Is there anything I'm looking forward to? So I'm hopefully taking an international trip this year for school. So I'm hoping that actually gets to go through. Whether or not it will, because we don't know if it's very, very tentative. All I know is that I'm going before I'm done college, because they legally have to send me.
You must send me.
They absolutely have to. It's funny because the people, because it's not funded by the college, it's funded privately because it's funded through donations. And this money has already been given to the school, so they have to use it for what it was donated for. So hypothetically, there is this just bank account that's sitting with like 80 grand waiting to send a bunch of veterans to Europe. And it's fantastic. But so that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. I'm really hoping if I don't get to go, I'm not going to be as bent up about it as when it got canceled last year, because I know for sure that we are going. But I'll still be pretty disappointed. But it'll be the start of summer, and that'll be great.
That's awesome. That's good.
I'm pretty excited.
I think that's good. What was the most difficult part about creating and being involved in this project? You cannot say dealing with me.
I absolutely, there goes my answer. Honestly, the hardest part was just the knowing that I was going to be working with somebody else, but not recording with them. So being mindful of making sure that there's the natural pauses, making sure that each line sounds as if it would do well in a conversation, because, you know, most of us on GWA perform these scripts where we're talking to, it's a one-sided conversation. So even if it sounds a little forced, that's fine. Like, it still works. But you can't do that same style or that same method when someone's going to be added in post. So being mindful that this is a conversation that people are going to hear, that it is, it's not just me. Being mindful of that for the dialogue and the sex and everything definitely added a new element to my performance that I wasn't familiar with.
So I have a kind of a side question to this. Mm-hmm. So we all know who recorded all their stuff first. And in one day.
Yep, We do.
And I'm wondering, because Eli admitted that Koala finished before he did, and so he would listen to some of Koala's stuff before recording his. Did you listen to any of Bi Boy's stuff before recording yours?
That would have been really intelligent. That would have been very smart. I didn't even think of doing that. No.
Did you just facepalm? I feel like you did.
Yeah. It's still here. No, I did not have the wherewithal to listen to my partner's anything prior to going into it. I just ran with it, and in retrospect, that was not the correct choice.
Honestly, that's like makes it so much more impressive, because like neither of you heard the other person, and yet like magic was created.
My initial instinct is always to push that to credit that to both Bi Boy and Eli, because I just showed up and did my thing.
But you did it so well.
I did what I can.
It was all three of you who made that couple happen.
The whole thing was so nice. Just the whole I'll be honest, like I still talk about it. Like when people ask me like the type of things that I've recorded, I'm like, every time I open up with, oh, well, I was in a pornographic Hallmark movie, and they're like, what? And I'm like, hang on, let me explain. So it's the whole thing is cool. This has probably been my favorite project thus far.
Aw, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Aww.
You kind of answered this, but maybe you want to elaborate. So I'm going to answer it again.
Okay.
Sorry, before I do, you've done other collabs, right?
Actually, I don't think I have. I think that this is my first collab.
Really? Don't you play a part in like Tom's thing?
So I had a brief role in Strings. And then we're going to be continuing that at some point. Strings was my first like collaboration with anybody else. So this was 3 Times Christmas was my first collaboration for like GWA. So my first Not Safe for Work collaboration.
So then, do you ever feel awkward, uncomfortable, uneasy making a collab audio? Like, were the intimate scenes all right to do, or was it just not at all awkward?
So Strings wasn't Not Safe for Work, so I can't really speak on that. But this one, it wasn't awkward. I think that in the sense of professionalism, like, I don't want to say that I'm immune to awkward, because that's just a bold-faced lie. But I'm like 80% awkward. Let's all be honest here.
But 80% awkward, 20% Red Bull.
Exactly. But yeah, I think that in the interest of professionalism, it's not awkward. Like recording with somebody else, like listening to them, like I've recorded while other people have been listening to me. And I've helped a friend of mine do some recording as well. So the awkward kind of gets set aside that would normally be present in that situation, I suppose. So yeah, it hasn't been awkward really for me, collaborating with anybody.
That's good. I think anyway. So how long did it take you to record your part?
I was the last one to submit everything, so...
Actually, no, Eli was. But since he's the editor, he can get away with it.
I was about to say, I feel like that doesn't count because he definitely had more power than me. I was like fucking up production.
You got it in before the deadline.
Yeah, but... it was like a day and a half before the deadline. It wasn't...
It was so good.
But yeah. So I think that once I actually sat down to take care of it, it was like 3-4 days between school and personal stuff. Just recording a little bit every day, like recording a scene or two every day.
Well, that's good. That's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't want to sit down and give everything all at once because I figured that like by the time that I finish, it wouldn't be as good.
Unlike Byboy, who just banged it all out in between doing chores, like
I have no fucking idea. Like, well, he was like doing other shit while recording. I'm like, I can't. Like, I gotta dry hump my desk to get into recording. I don't know how you're doing it. Like.
I remember getting like messages from him as he was doing it, and he was like, "Ah, shoot, I have to wait for the dryer cycle to finish, so like give me like 20 and then he was probably like roasting a duck or something as well, like, because he's also fancy.
Yeah, I don't know how he fucking did that, like. It blows, like, here's the thing, because not only did he record all of this while doing other shit, he also was one of, like, the three main characters. Like, he was one of the big characters. So, like, that was not a small amount of recording, and it was not a light, like, emotional amount of recording. Like, it was kind of a big deal. And he did all of this between, like, his laundry. Like, so not only was he not, like, and this is what blows my mind. So not only was he, like, I don't want to say he wasn't fully paying attention, but, like, he was multitasking, and he delivered this kind of performance. Like, what can this motherfucker do if he's paying attention? And that terrifies me.
I kind of want you to do like mini reviews of different VAs now. Cause like, like, what can this motherfucker do when he's paying attention? And that scares me. Like, that should just be on his profile as the review of what his work is.
Huntsman says.
Yeah.
What could this motherfucker do if he's paying attention? That scares me. 5 stars.
Yeah. Like, there you go. Like, 2-minute snippets, Huntsman says. can we expect you to do, because this is actually even a bigger question for you, can we expect you to do like more collabs or a radio play like this one in the future? And by collabs, that can be anything. It doesn't have to be this type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, there is projections for me to be on Strings Again. I would love to do another radio story, something like this. I'm definitely not opposed to collabs. I don't have much experience with them, and I'm not a very good editor, so that would kind of fall onto somebody else. But otherwise, I think that would be very interesting. I'm definitely down to see what opportunities arise.
You're a good editor.
I have my moments.
Yeah. Again, and I'm gonna mention it. Like, there was Gritty with the hockey sounds.
Yeah, there was the hockey sounds and the air horns.
Oh right,
for the climax.
How could I have forgotten the air horns? I'm slipping my old age. Second unrelated question. In general, what are your book recommendations?
Ooh, book recommendations. This is a good question. I love the Night Angels trilogy by Brent Weeks. It's one of my favorites. Content warning, it does have a lot of sexual assault, gore, violence, that sort of thing. But it's the content of the book has political intrigue, magic, romance, I can talk for days about this book. It's really, really good. And subplots, and the plot is really good, and the subplots are just as good, and all of the characters are so interesting. So I highly recommend that if you can get through some of the content in it. I also recommend for sci-fi A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers, which is much more fun than Night Angels trilogy. And for something a little bit more serious, Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein, which has been on officers reading lists since I think the 70s, 80s. It's really, really good for perspective and leadership if you're ever curious about it.
I like the fact that you didn't have to think. It was just like 1, 2, 3, this is why.
Yeah, I love these books. I actually have the collector's edition of both the Night Angels trilogy and Starship Troopers, and the collector's edition of Night Angels trilogy, because it's about magical assassins, and the whole thing is this stark black. The hardcover is black, the pages are black. It's a beautiful fucking book, and I highly recommend anybody who reads it and enjoys what they see. I highly recommend picking up the collector's edition, because it's just this. It is a very pretty book.
That's good. So, what's one thing you've learned about yourself as a creative after finishing the Christmas project?
I definitely need to better manage my time.
It's not like you submitted it like 2 minutes before midnight. Like, come on here.
I know, but like Bye Boy knocked all of his out between laundry. Like, I don't know. I'm probably being too judgmental with myself, but I definitely feel as though I mean, and then that's honestly just a character flaw of myself, that I am horrible with time management. But the big thing is that I took away from it is that this whole recording thing is all about, you know, like how much you get into it and how much you can feel for your character. So I think my like getting into character involved that personal investment in what was happening. So I guess that was the biggest thing I learned was to really step in and be emotionally invested in the character, in order to record and give a great performance.
Oh, you sound so professional now. Like, I remember talking to you almost a year ago now. Like,
oh my God, it has been almost a year.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like there's a, what is it? The anniversary of Anderson Reed is
of
coming
Anderson
up.
Reed.
Like, wow. Yeah. Why? Like you've progressed so much with how you like talk about this stuff and like how you view the performance and everything. It's fantastic. You're growing up. Oh my God.
I'm growing up. You're proud yet? As opposed to like I didn't realize I was just a year ago. It feels like so much longer. Like because like definitely when I was like doing Anderson Reed, I was like, all right, I'm gonna fucking we'll see how this goes. Like
also kudos for you taking like that on, because I think that was the first one was my first script, and then it was also my first series. So I hope I've gotten better and more concise since then.
Well, I mean, with how well The Dentist is doing, I think that it's pretty obvious that you and Eli, this shit is fucking.
Did I tell you that I'm actually in the process of writing a tie-in between The Dentist and Anderson Reed?
We've discussed this a little bit before.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah. No, it's happening.
Cause you told me, I was like, I'm hype as fuck. And if you need me to come back, I will.
So yeah.
I'm in.
Awesome. So yeah, no, it's The Dentist is also pure insanity. I'll be perfectly honest in comparison to Anderson Reed is like, you can kind of picture it happening in real life. Dentist is just completely out there.
Yeah. So I have trouble listening to audios because of my own hearing issues. But like from what you've described of The Dentist, I'm just like, I don't know how we got here. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the plot went this way. But cool. People seem to enjoy it. Eli's fucking killing it. Run it.
I think it was,
hell yeah.
I think it was purely me trying to trip Eli up. And I never did.
And it's impossible to trip this man up.
It completely is. It is.
And then you described the Anderson Reed tie-in, and I was like, this is not what I expected from a story called The Dentist, but okay.
Yeah, so like back to you. So yeah, Anderson Reed, like maybe we'll get to see them be given a decent scene. That isn't like fucking 60% plot and like exposition. You had a lot of exposition with that one.
There was a lot of plot building, which I think was also it was good. It was, I feel like the plot building, the world building was also really good for me as a performer, because I was not too familiar with doing that, with actual performance, because for the most part with all of the things that I'd done up until then were primarily not safe for work. So it would be like, you know, like 10% scene setup and then 90% moaning into the mic, which is basically my job.
Right, it's the way you put it. I'm just like...
Which, like, there's that's it. Like, moaning into the mic and dry humping my desk.
You must have a very close relationship with your desk.
It's very intimate. Let me tell you, we are very well acquainted. But I think all of I really think that Anderson Reed definitely prepared me the best for Hades and Persephone, which did do a lot of exposition and it did a lot of world building prior to getting into the main event, if you will.
I feel so bad that it was 20 minutes of setup before 20 minutes of sex.
But like it worked though. I think that's the biggest thing. I will be honest. Part one of for things that I have done, Hades and Persephone. Part one is my favorite thing that I've performed. Not only because I did all of this editing and the soundscape is incredible, but it's buildup and it does so much in that first 20 minutes. You know, like it is a one man. If like I don't mean to toot my own horn, but like it's a one-man show that gets the listener invested. And it does that pretty well. Obviously, that's partly my performance, but it's also the way that you have written this. And that is definitely credit to you as an author, as the scriptwriter, because you're able to get people hooked in through what's being said. And I don't mean to make this like a circle jerk, but Hades and Persephone is fucking incredible. Like, and I stand by that. I'm legitimately proud to have been the one that was written for and the one to have filled it. But it definitely wouldn't have been nearly as interesting or nearly as successful if it hadn't had your talent to begin with.
Aw, you're like insanely sweet. What's going on? I feel like you're trying to lull me into a false sense of security.
Yeah. Surprise. No, I have a lot of respect for you as a scriptwriter, and every time, I have friends who have been like, who have come to me in real life and been like, hey, I know you do this thing. I'm interested in writing scripts. Like, how should I do this? Like, do you have any recommendations? And every time I'm like, go read Miri's shit. Like, go read the things that she's done. And you can see how to write a script. You can see the format that you should look into. You can see like how you need to explain your plot, set up your characters, the type of things you can do while you're in it. Like, do that. And only once have I messaged, what's up with this period script? And I was like, ignore that. Read something else. Please don't do that.
Yeah. No, stay away from my brand of comedy.
Yeah.
Stay away from that.
Yeah, I got a text and it was period script question mark. And I was like, no. Hang on. Don't do the shit post. Don't read the shit post.
That being said, I always say it's half writing, half performer, because the performer can make up a lot. They also set the tone of the character, because you can write something and they'll have their own take on it. For example, Hades, because you mentioned it. You made him sound so nice. I was like, I didn't even know that was there. And it works. It works so well, especially because like half the setup was there because I'm like, because I've heard other interpretations of that story. And I'm like, can we make this not rape?
But I think that was like, yeah, it's, and I think that that's the best part of my Hades and Persephone is that there is no rape, and it is just a beautiful love story. Is that completely accurate to the actual mythology? No, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah. Well, it's also confusing because I think I read somewhere that rape is actually interpreted to have two meanings in the context of Greek myth. One being what we know as rape, and the other being simply abduction. So, Yeah, I can't remember where I read that, but I read that somewhere and I was like, okay, so that's, you're already looking at the term rape being used in this confusing context from the quote unquote beginning, because I'm sure it was used before that and all this other stuff. But without getting into that, because that's a lecture that I really don't want to do.
Yeah, and that's a touchy subject to begin with.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, for sure, 9 times out of 10, it's today's definition of rape is used, or it goes from non-consensual to consensual. And I was like, I think we can do this as like a fully consensual thing. And I was actually really impressed with your performance on... I'm just like, you knock the sex part out of the park. I don't need to mention it. Like you and that desk have a good system going. Let's be honest here.
It works. It works out, man.
Yeah. The setup was so good. Like so good. And like I always enjoy it when it's been a while since I've had, like, it's a while between the script and the fill, because I get a chance to forget what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So there were moments in that setup where I was like, oh, that's a good line. I should use a variation of that, only to be like, oh, I wrote this thing. So I think it's a marker.
I remember you texted me a few times. You're like, yo, you ad-libbed this really well. And I was like, I didn't really ad-lib shit. Like, I didn't do that. That's you, bro.
I'm like, what? Then I go back to the script and be like, oh, you're right. What?
Like the last line in part two. Which you were like, holy shit, that was so well. And then you were like, oh, wait, I put that in there.
No, but you did. There were some really, really good choices in that I thought, like, it's mm-hmm. a testament to you as a performer. And like I said, if we're looking at like a year ago with Anders and Reed to now, like, fuck, dude, you've like done this exponential growth. It's fantastic. You should be proud. You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I'm smiling real big, and I don't know how to take compliments, so I'm thank you.
You take it and you tuck it away in your pocket for a rainy day. That's what you do.
I'm gonna remember this.
Yeah. Sorry, we went on a tangent. I apologize.
A little apologize.
We've got 6 questions left, just so you know where we're at. So is it easier to perform a VA to silent listener script or a VA to VA script?
I think that, like I said before, it's going to really depend on the editor. But in my opinion, I would say it's easier to record a VA to silent listener script, because even though you're doing this one-sided conversation and you need to what's that fucking word? You need to provide that's a hiccup, sorry. You need to provide context for what the listener is, what the silent person is saying back to you. But it's you are driving the performance and you are pushing forward with it. So you don't have to worry too much about building off of the other person. Whereas with VA to VA, you need to keep that idea in mind, and you need to be aware that they're also performing and that they're also going to be saying things to you. And you're saying things back to them. So you need to make it sound much more natural, which can be a little bit of a challenge if this person isn't performing with you.
I want to bring this up because there's something that you said that reminded me of this. Because I'm going to shower you mm-hmm. with compliments, because that's my job right now. so you actually should, I do a project like this again. And if I do, there's going to be, I said it when I was interviewing Eli, is there's going to be a GoFundMe, because I feel that people need to get paid, especially the editing machine that is Eli.
Especially the editor.
Who decided to do this in like 120 hour fucking gamut fueled on tea. I was like, we'll call it the tea fund. That's what we'll call it. But the reality is I feel like everyone needs to get paid if we do this again. Sure. But you kind of set with the audios that you sent in kind of the standard format of what, like, I think I'd want to see, but I also, Eli found it most useful to get it in that format. Like the format going forward of what would be specifically asked for.
Oh, like how it was recorded, you mean?
Yeah, because you had a standard pause, but then you also delivered like a set amount of mouth sounds. So there was so much extra material to have for that aspect. It was very obvious to tell where the lines were so that it was easier to edit in other voices. So it's... unlike me, because I'm the jackass who forgot the instruction to leave a certain period of blank space between stuff, because, yeah, I always forget one instruction, and this round, that was it.
I mean, could have been worse. Could have been worse, maybe.
Well, at least I left, like, a 2-second gap. It wasn't like I was doing the lines.
Reading everything is one sentence.
Yeah. So at least it wasn't a run-on sentence, but I felt badly about that when I realized, oh, fuck, I didn't do that. Which is why I'm not a VA. There's a few reasons why I'm not. That's one of them.
But that's up there.
Yeah, that's up there. But yeah, no, it's a... It was really cool to see just how much progression you've done in the last year with this, and that like you were kind of, yeah, you're ragging on yourself for being the last one to submit, but at the same time you submitted it in like this perfect format for editing.
So one of the biggest reasons why I was so like, so one of the reasons why I delivered it like that was I was so paranoid of not providing enough material. Like I was so worried that I wasn't providing enough mouth sounds, or I wasn't providing enough noise to work with. So I would like record, the line, and I'd record like all the associated moaning. And then there would be like looking at like this sound wave for it, it would be, or the waveform, it would be like line space and then just moaning and then space and then more line. Like, so I feel, and I figured that that was what they were, what he was looking for. But I was also super paranoid that I wasn't giving him enough to work with, you know?
Yeah, no, but you like, you need to like really take on the fact of how much you've like progressed and like this kind of standard of professionalism you have now. Like, it's really awesome.
I think
you need
that,
to take a moment. You need to take a moment and like realize that if, damn it.
I think if I take a moment and realize it, I'm gonna panic because I didn't expect myself to get this far.
It's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, I am proud of the way that and I've said to others, I can hear the difference in like my first recordings and the things that I've done most recently. And I do take it much more seriously now that I'm getting more involved with it, and I have a bigger presence, I suppose is the word, in the community. So the nope, the rest of that sentence is fucking gone. That shit just emptied.
Are you overwhelmed? Are you overwhelmed?
I am a little overwhelmed, not gonna lie. That's a lot of compliments first thing in the morning.
This is how I do it, man.
But the it's been a ride, and I'm happy I started this all that time ago. And I'm glad I stuck with it.
Samesies. See, I know how to light the mood. So when you're dealing with a larger project, it can be on the scale of this, it can be a little scale back, but a larger project, how do you find the motivation to keep going?
Shit, that's a really good question. So while I'm doing it, which is why one of the reasons why it takes me so long to record bigger things, I take breaks. Sometimes these breaks are unintentional. Sometimes they aren't. But I will be like recording and doing a thing and then be like, all right, well, you know what? I'm going to go have a sandwich. Or, all right, I'm going to look on Facebook for a little bit. So this way it doesn't feel as, so even though it takes up more time, and this is another problem I have with time management. So even though recording it takes up a lot more time, it allows me to be more like invigorated to do it. So this way I don't feel as though I'm throwing myself at a wall and just trying to get done. Even though it takes a longer time, I feel more energized while I do it.
That's good. And it's actually following, like, because I spoke to Dulcet, and when they answered this, they spoke about how a while ago, in order to manage their time, they learn to break the task down into smaller pieces. So your focus is to get the one piece done, then you might go off and do something else, and then get another next piece done. Maybe you're feeling more motivated, so you might get like the next two done before you take a break. So it's like you're actually doing kind of like what they will tell people to do to tackle a big task. Look at you! Look at you doing all this stuff without realizing it. You're being an adult. How does that feel?
I don't like it.
So you touched on this one. You touched on this, but I'm going to ask it like because it's a straightforward question. So thinking about all your work from like when you started, like back to you had like a gym script, like a gym
A
moment.
personal trainer script.
Yeah, the personal trainer one. I think that's when I first, no, I first found you through the like, was it a roommate one where it's like, damn it, we're roommates, but I like her. Did you do one like that?
Yeah, I think that was
That's,
the one after the personal trainer, actually.
yeah, so that's the one that I found you. Then I heard the personal trainer one. We're going way back right now.
No, I'm like thinking, I'm like, how fucking far back is this?
Yeah. So
Let me,
you might,
I'm bringing my shit up right
yeah,
now.
I'm like, you might want to bring your shit up right now. So thinking from the beginning all the way to now. So I'm not going to stop at the Christmas project, but all the way to now. What have you done that you're the most proud of? And keep in mind, I think Gritty is cheating, but if you are legitimately the most proud of that, I'll let it go.
All right, the editing I'm definitely proud of in Gritty. But no, I think that the one I'm most proud of is Hades and Persephone. Because Hades and Persephone really, it tested me as an editor and as a performer. So it was very multifaceted. It was a very multifaceted project to dive into. So I think that that's the one that I'm most proud of. Behind that, I'm like looking at my list.
You have a lengthy list, by the way.
It's much more significant than I was expecting. So I think that my top three, Hades and Persephone, Pull the Trigger, and then the guided meditation one that I did, Step into the Void.
Oh, I remember you talking about that one and like
Yeah,
how
I'm
excited you
very proud
were.
of that. Yeah, I really like that one. So Hades and Persephone, Pull the Trigger, and Step into the Void, other than Three Times a Christmas, are the ones that I am very proud of.
Aw, I helped with that. Like, I'm
Yes,
helping.
you did.
So you do, I've seen you've written scripts, like for yourself, you've written scripts. So of the stuff you've written, and I will include improvisation in this as well. Or like ramble faps, if that's how you want to put it. But I'll include the improv stuff as well. So of that stuff that you've done, what one would you like to have actually happen in your real life?
Ah, man. That's a really good question, actually. Fuck. So
Time to go through the
this
list again.
I yep, I'm looking at everything. So I think that the script I wrote, You've Wanted Me for a While, which is a female a F for M script, I think is the person who I wrote it for, that would have been interesting at a different point in time. But honestly, I don't know, man. I really don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's.
Wait, I was not expecting that to be like an existentialist type question for you. People, you've made him question his sanity now. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I guess maybe, like, I guess I'm in need of a sleep aid. So, like, the guy, like, the step into the void, maybe? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I plead the fifth on this question.
That's fine. So yeah. Of the characters in this project, did you have a favorite couple or a character in it?
I'm definitely biased to to Liam and Ollie. I love my husband. He must be protected at all costs.
The project would have failed if anything bad happened to him. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. I think that if anything bad had happened to Ollie at all, this whole thing would have crashed and burned.
I'm not even gonna lie. Yeah, he became the heart of this whole thing very unexpectedly.
Like, it's Bi Boy. Like, it really is. Like, cause he's so fucking cute. Like, so here's the thing, right? Everybody brought their all to this project, and I think that's fucking incredible. Fucking Co, Bun, Eli, Dulcet, Bi Boy, like, all of us brought as much as we could. Like, every character is clearly defined. Personalities are strong. Like, Koala has this like no shit bad bitch attitude. Fucking Bun comes in with this overabundance of confidence, and it's incredible. Bi Boy is just the sweet thing that needs to be held. Like, everything is so great about this fucking thing. I can't say enough kind things about everybody who worked with this. But like, I'm incredibly partial to Liam and Ollie.
Oddly enough, that has been quite consistent. It has been.
Me and my husband.
Oh man, no, and I've what was it? I feel like, cause so this is funny, cause Eli and I had specific questions because of the additional roles we had. Mm-hmm. This is hilarious because he was asked this question and I was not, which was, is there going to be a sequel?
What?
Yeah.
Hold up.
Thank you.
He answered that with, I don't know, ask Miri.
Well, no, like, it does. He as I've said, and I said this earlier to you, if there's gonna be something about this, I feel people need to get paid, like, for their work. So that's one thing. But the second thing is, I really feel that the reason why people want a sequel is because of Liam, Ollie, and Peter. And that's why I think people want a sequel, because they want to see you two again. And they also want, like, Peter to suddenly have a larger role. And I don't know, maybe he finds love.
Well, I think that there's a very real chance of Liam punching Peter in the face.
Oh my God. There could be a fight scene. That'd be so awesome. We'll set it to its rating men.
God damn it.
Let's make it super. But yeah, so that's but it's also just all of you were so amazing. Like everybody was so, so amazing in this. Could not have asked for a better cast.
Yeah, it was. I can't speak highly enough of the people in this. Everyone involved killed it.
Yeah. So after completing such a big audio production, were there any personal realizations or a new sense, a new understanding about yourself and your skills and capabilities?
Well, the one thing that I definitely realized was that I definitely need to be more aware of warming up before I start recording, because I'd start recording and then I'd listen back while I was editing everything. I'd be like, cut all the stuff from the beginning, because it's very evident that like when I start recording, I haven't really found my voice. I haven't really found my footing yet. But then like once I get like midway to the end, there's more energy and there's more life to the performance. So that this project definitely helped me realize that I need to be more aware of how warmed up I am as a performer before I start recording.
That's cool. And so that kind of bounces into the second last question, which is, when you approach this kind of big type of a project, how do you prepare for it? Before you sit down and you record, how do you prepare to do that?
So I try to read. So honestly, I think Three Times a Christmas is the only thing that I haven't read before recording it. Because I was just like, yeah, no, I'm Liam. I'm running with it. Moving in into this. So for the most part, I'll look through it and then I'll normally read something out loud, which is why on my Patreon, I've been reading through The Art of War. So I'll like read like a chapter of The Art of War, give myself a little bit of a break, hydrate, and then I'll get into recording. And then I've also done those warm-ups before, but I didn't take them as seriously as I did, as I do now, after the project. Because I heard the difference in my work. So I think the biggest thing is like getting, like doing a warm-up and getting into the right headspace to dive into this, dive into the project, I think is the most important. Making sure that you are physically and mentally ready to be there, to be into it.
See, I told you, you're sounding more and more professional. Look at you, adulting. Look at this.
My art, seriously.
So we are finally at the last question. I know I kept you a little longer than you thought, but we went on some neat tangents and it was fine.
This is good.
So we've reached the end, and this is the question that it was asked, and I was like, okay, this is so out of left field, I have to ask it. So think about all the Gone Wild audio related subreddits. So like we've got GWA, Sapphic, Gay, and like 10 others. Think across all of them. All right. Who are some of the VAs that you think you can take individually in a bare knuckle fist fight?
In a bare knuckle fist fight?
Yep. And keep in mind, I know everybody else's answers.
Hmm. So I don't really know too many people. I'm going to be honest. I don't like, I couldn't fight. I could. All right. So I'm going to start with, I could not fight Bye Boy. I'm going to throw that out there. He's too kind. I'm throwing in the towel before that even starts.
You're just going to walk up and hug him. Like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm just, no husband. We're not doing this here. Who can I take? So I'm reasonably confident in my brawling skills. I probably shouldn't be given how like my body is failing, but
if you had to,
it's never stopped me before.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely. I'm gonna say most people. I'm not gonna lie.
You want to name some
names?
Eli,
I think Eli's got some reach on me, but I have no problem getting in close.
You're gonna take on the tree man.
I'm taking on the tree man, and I'm a win. Tom, I could probably toss.
Not even fight, just toss him.
Yeah, I'm just throwing him.
I want you to know Koala said she could take on the demon boys, so all three of them at the same time. I'm just like, I'd pay to watch that, not gonna lie. That's amazing. She's like, nah, I'm not gonna take on one. I'm taking on all three. There we go.
Taking all three?
Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna work out. I mean, more power to her, but like
if anyone can,
my money's
her.
On the demons. I mean, I will give her that, yes. I mean, Bunny said that she'd take me in a fight, so I feel like I need to add her off the bat.
I want to say, so I asked that question, 0.2 seconds later, Bunny goes, hunt.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, like, no thought, no humming and hawing, just boom, hunt. I can take him.
Hunt.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, no, all right. Yeah, no, I'm taking Bunny down. That's not how this goes.
Yeah. I want you to know I picked Eli. I was like, give me a running start. That. Give me a running start. I'm fine.
Running start.
Yeah.
You're taking it on the tree, man.
Yeah. Jump up, get like a good grip around the neck. I'm good. I can do this.
I feel like you're going to like RKO him.
That's basically I was like, because I was talking to Ko about this, because she's like, I don't know, because Hunt has some experience. And I was like, you could only take on Hunt if you like got in one good shot from the beginning. And I'm talking like full ball shot. Like,
that's probably the only thing that's going to stop. Because I have an awkwardly high pain tolerance, and I've been beat up a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
so I know how to take a hit.
Yeah. I'm just like, it would have to be like you put on your steel toes, you aim, and it's like square on in the balls. Like that's the only way you're going to do it.
Yeah. I got to get crippled in the first like 5 seconds of the fight or I'm going to win.
Yeah. Cause like
in.
Yeah. Cause as you heard, my tactic is to get on the neck, and I have a feeling you wouldn't let me do that.
Mm-mm.
You're not well, not just me. You're not going to let anybody do that. So it's like the only way would be steel toes right to the balls, very quick, right off the bat. I feel that's the only way.
Yeah, it's got to be it's probably a blow, or I mean, my knees aren't too great. So like if I get like a sidekick to the knee at the right angle, like I'm probably going down and at a severe disadvantage.
Oh, so we're not talking about ethical fighting then. I'm dislocating your kneecaps. Unethically, that's what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, all right. Well, actually, so it was specifically bare knuckle boxing.
Yes.
So we'll go with that. All right. So no below the belt standard box. I'm not a good boxer. I need to use my feet. So I actually am at a real disadvantage here.
No, you can use your feet. I don't care.
But that's not the rules of a bare knuckle box, though.
No, but that's street fight rules.
I mean, and, yeah.
And let's be honest, when we're talking, when people say bare knuckles, they're actually talking like on the street, no rules. Like don't have anything on your hands.
I mean, if that's what we're doing, like I'm gouging somebody's eye out. Like I'm gonna gouge your eye out, I'm gonna get you on the ground, then I'm gonna pop your elbow out of socket, and then I'm gonna walk all over you. You got it.
But I love the fact that Bunny, zero hesitation, was zero like hesitation. Hunt. Yeah.
Of course.
No hesitation.
All right, Bun, fine. That's how this is gonna be. Let's fucking run it.
Pick the time, pick the place. It's
pick the
happened.
Time, pick the place. If you see that picture of the aardvark, just like, come at me, bro.
Yeah, our armadillo of defense is my personal favorite.
I respect that. The curl up and...
And roll! Just roll!
And just roll away. I mean, you're definitely going to confuse your opponent when you start doing that, so it's a viable strategy.
Yeah, well, and I also think it's better than what that one chem professor told me years ago.
Huh?
Yeah, so he the conversation was on pH and acidity and basic, and all of a sudden turns away from the board and says, ladies, if you ever find yourselves cornered in an alley, stick your hand down your throat, throw up, and smear it in their eyes. And I'm kind of like, I feel just sticking my hand down my throat is going to confuse them enough that they're going to be like, this is too much trouble, I'm going.
Like, I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, like how would you react if like your opponent just sticks their hand down their throat?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna walk away. Just this is weird.
Like a fight's one thing, but fighting with crazy, nah.
Yeah, like I've been into some weird shit. No one has shoved their fingers down their throat. So I think I'd see that and be like, you know what? This is a job for somebody the fuck else.
But yeah, no. So we're setting up this like pay-per-view fight between Hunt and Bunny now.
she did say that she would fight me. And I was like, yeah, haha, okay. I didn't realize it was without hesitation.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. All right. I'm trying to be nice over here and be like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to like talk shit on people, you know, like, no. All right, Bun, let's fucking do this. I got you.
Yeah, no, it was, she maybe thought for like a fraction of a second and then boom, Hunt. And she also, what was even better is after I asked the question, she was like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to do, like, that was the attitude in her voice. We're going to go.
Of course it was. Because she can't do anything at, like, a normal pace.
So you heard it here first, folks. There's going to be a fight between Hunt and Bunny to finally settle the score.
Pay-per-view in the octagon.
Yep. Actually, we might lower the cage. Make it a cage match.
Yeah. I got you for 3 minutes. You ain't going nowhere.
Oh, not to extend this any longer than what you've allotted time for, but now I have to ask, if you're getting entrance music to this fight, what are you picking?
Oh man. Just because I've been listening to this song all the fucking time, I'm gonna say Wire by Worthy Kids.
And now that you've picked that, what's your entrance outfit?
Well, there's definitely going to be a cape.
Gotta be a cape.
Yeah, absolutely, but a cape. I don't know after that. I just know with 100% certainty there's a cape.
Naked and a cape. There we go.
Dick to the wind. No. I don't know. Probably like shorts. Probably like shorts, combat boots, and a cape. Like, this is how I'm running it.
And what are your colors? Because the people need to know.
Hmm. think black and red.
Classic combo.
Or black and green.
Also classic. All right. We've got this set up. We're ready. Now we just gotta wait for now we know the entire audience what they're looking forward to after COVID is over is this fight.
We're gonna make so much money off tickets.
It's gonna be so great. All right, well, now that we've hit the end, and technically we hit it a while ago, I just gab and I'm sorry. So is there anything you want to tell the people? I'm cool if you want to like shout out your Patreon or your Twitter or anything like that. Do you have a big project coming up that you want to plug? Anything like that? Go ahead.
No real big projects. School's kind of taking up a lot of my time, but I am still actively posting on Patreon, patreon.com/thehuntsman1880. I am also still accepting, I've recently reopened commissions. So if you want to commission me for a custom audio, that is thehuntsman1880.com.
Famous last words, because he's talking to me right now.
Yeah. I know I'm safe for a little while because of Gritty, thank the gods, but
yeah.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter for the dumb shit that falls out of my mouth sometimes. And I'm on Twitch. I'll probably be streaming for like an hour today.
Nice. And you've got that like that idea to work through your lexicon of games.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be after Doom Eternal, but that's definitely something I'm going to do later this year. Maybe for a 24-hour stream, every 2 hours I'll just jump to a different game.
Oh my god, that'd be pretty cool. Make sure though you give your rating at the end.
Mm-hmm. But like I got to play through the full 2 hours.
Yeah, but at the end you have to be like you know, miss or like take or miss or whatever.
Yeah, hit or miss.
Thank you.
I got you.
It's morning for me too. all right. Well, goodbye. Happy shiny people. Say bye-bye, Hunt.
Bye.
Bye.